Kick it! It is a much better honor life to have walk-up music on the Doug and Wolf Show than to be some part of some cheesy Super Bowl broadcast team in 2 weeks. I can tell you that. Jay Feely is called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. All right, let's get the cheese ball easy one out of the way first. How cold was it, Jay?
You know, it wasn't too cold. By the way, the single greatest honor of my life is having walk-up music.
Oh, thank you.
Let's just get
especially
that out.
Beastie Boys. It doesn't get much better.
I thought it was very interesting because the last 2 weeks, the Patriots definitely wanted the weather to be worse. They were hoping for sloppy weather. They were hoping for it to be colder. You know, the worse the forecast was, the happier they were. And it wasn't too bad. The weather didn't have much of an impact on the game. And, you know, I tweeted it out, but Tom Brady gave us a quote that was just gold. You know, he said, that my mind doesn't slow down, but their bodies do, and saying why he plays so well in the cold.
That's good.
25-4 when the temperature is below 30. And I just thought that was – that's a GOAT giving you a GOAT quote right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Jay, in that regard, tell us about Tom Brady. You had an eyewitness. You're standing right there. You're watching Tom Brady go about his business. Give us your perspective on this.
Well, I mean, I'm just so amazed as everybody is because I still think of him as the guy that, is in college. We're going across to the Union, you know, playing pool, hanging out, working at the driving range at Michigan, going to Olive Garden afterwards when we played golf and the loser had to buy Olive Garden and you got free breadsticks and salad. I mean, that's the guy that I think of. And to think that now he's in his ninth Super Bowl. I will tell you this, Doug, they had extreme confidence in our meetings this week. They were very confident in their game plan offensively. They felt like they knew exactly what to do. Last time they played in week 6, you know, they had a great understanding of what they were going to do. Every time they went to either front and mugged the linebacker up, they just checked the power, Wolf, and they ran the ball. And they knew that they could run the ball. And they did say something that was very curious to me. Both Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels both said, we can't throw the ball 50 times. And we're not built that way to win a game like that. We have to be able to run the ball, especially on this Chiefs team. And, you know, that bore out. But the confidence they had in those meetings when they walked in, knowing that they were going to succeed. I mean, I saw a confidence that is rare in those meetings. A lot of times guys come in, they're confident in their scheme and their plan and what they did. But they just exuded confidence and composure.
Jay Feely joining Doug and Wolf. You know him as the Cardinals kicker. He's also on the CBS broadcast. He'll be part of the Super Bowl crew. And then he's also joining us to talk about the AFC Championship game when he was there live to both kind of talk about the special teams and be a sideline reporter. But you heard him mention his stories with Tom Brady and both going to Michigan together. So therefore, speculate, because you know Tom Brady so well. The story goes the game is over and Brady tells a chief security guard and some Patriots personnel, I want to see Patrick. And they take him into a room somewhere at Arrowhead, and then they bring Patrick Mahomes in, and Brady won't tell anybody what they talked about. As a guy who knows Tom Brady, what do you think he wanted to say to Patrick Mahomes?
I think that speaks volumes because if you know Brady, he's not the guy who goes out afterwards on the field and spends a lot of time talking to the other quarterbacks. I mean, he may give a slight handshake and a hug and he's off, if that. You know, so for him to go out of his way to go find Patrick Mahomes, to talk to him privately and personally, it just tells you the respect that he has for him. And I think, you know, everybody across the league, and me included, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I watched him in warmups. I sat there and was talking to Anthony Sherman, who used to play for the Cardinals, and Mahomes comes up and sits down on the bench next to us, and we talked for about 15 minutes. This is before his first AFC Championship game. He was so calm. He was so at ease. He's telling stories about his nephew playing sports, and we were talking about coaching, and, you know, it was just amazing. I felt like I was talking to a veteran guy who played in it, you know, 8 straight times, instead of on the other sideline talking to a guy playing in it his first time, and you know, he just has the ability to go out there and make plays, and I'm sure Steve Keim, every time he watches those games, just cringes knowing, you know, I should have moved up and taken it.
You know, just watching yesterday, I thought I was watching one of the best games I have ever seen, Jay. That is so strong, I realize that, but it had everything. everything you could possibly want in this game. It had the new and the old offense that is taking over right in the NFL, the blending of the two. It had controversy, overtime, the greatest of all time against this young gun MVP and Patrick Mahomes. It had everything you could possibly want in this game. I thought it was one of the best games I ever saw. You're standing right there. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, four different times I thought that one team won. I thought, oh, it's over. They did it.
Yep.
You know, they won. And then somebody flipped the switch and made plays. And, you know, I thought what was so special was that you had Bill Belichick scheming up for this young quarterback and dialing up the exact defense he wanted, getting pressure into his face, forcing him into the outside of the pocket, knowing that they could make plays. And yet Patrick Mahomes still made plays. Mm-hmm. He plays on the run. He ad-libbed, and that's what's so special about this kid. And, you know, for Cardinals fans, you know, we had a great talk with him in the production meetings about Cliff Kingsbury and the fact that he believes he'll succeed, the fact that he believes that his schemes translate to the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes was almost a little defiant about Cliff Kingsbury. And, you know, and one of the things he said was, it's very similar to the criticism that Cliff Kingsbury is getting now to the criticism I got before the draft, you know, and the fact that he's talked about the losses and the lack of winning seasons and, you know, all that type of stuff and the questions about scheme and the air raid and whether that translates. And he was glowing in his reports about Cliff Kingsbury and who he'll be as a head coach and the success he believes that Cliff Kingsbury will have.
You know, I love where you're going, but I can't imagine Jim Nance wanted to hear any of that. I can't imagine the CBS. I mean, like, the CBS crew's got to be like, who cares about the Cardinals right now? But I do. I mean, what can you go even deeper? Like, did you have a sidebar conversation with him, or how long did he stay on this?
No, this was in our meetings, and he actually brought it up. I didn't even have to ask the question about Cliff Kingsbury. He brought it up, and, you know, in those meetings, you go on a lot of different topics with different people, and, you know, if you're talking to Bill Belichick, he'll talk to you about anything but the game. You know?
Right.
And he'll talk for 40 minutes about the history of the game, you know, if it doesn't have to do with his game plan for that game. But, you know, no, that was something that Patrick Mahomes brought up on his own and that obviously he wanted to talk about and that was on his mind because it was relevant. And, you know, Cliff had just gotten hired, and I, you know, it was fascinating for me. I mean, living here, knowing that he got hired, doing a couple games this year with the air raid offense with some of the Mike Leach's disciples and knowing that offense well, I'm fascinated to see how it translates. And I'm sure he'll have to add to it and he'll scheme differently in the NFL than he would in college. You have to keep defensive coordinators from knowing exactly what you're doing. But
right.
It's certainly exciting. I'm sure Josh Rosen's going to love it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I am fascinated by it as well. I cannot wait to see the blending of the two. But, Jay, thank you, brother. Really appreciate your time, and God bless you. We'll talk to you down the road.
Looking forward to the Super Bowl coming up. You know, I'll leave you at this. You know, Brady's first Super Bowl win against the Rams is his last against the Rams. No.
Well done.
Nice.
Kurt Warner really appreciates you dropping that nugget. That was nice of you. See you, Jay. Thanks. There's Jay Feely joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, the CBS sideline reporter extraordinaire and special teams expert for CBS broadcast, and then just friend of the show with walk-up music. He called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, after what you just heard Jay Feely say, does it matter the Cardinals appear to not be hiring an offensive coordinator? That's next on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Savages in the morning, broadcasting high atop the bell tower. Bang that bell if you got it, my brothers. The Auction Community Studios, we welcome you.
What did it... Okay. We're all smart enough, even if you're the most hardcore Arizona Cardinal fan. You're smart enough to know what Jay Feely just said does not matter. And you know it does not matter.
What did he say? That does not matter.
He said that in an AFC Championship game production meeting. And if you don't know what the production meetings are, it's where you are obligated as a football team to send different representatives, people that are being asked for, always head coach and quarterback, normally both coordinators, and sit and talk to the television broadcasters about the game to give them some insight into your planning. Mm-hmm. It's up to you how open you want to be. Some people are unbelievably open. Hey, look for this. We're going to be running an onside kick in this situation, or if we see this look, things like that, so they're prepared for it. And other people just don't talk much about it at all. And in a meeting like that, Patrick Mahomes did not want to talk AFC Championship game. It was important to him to get it out that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be successful.
You know, we had a great talk with him in the production meetings about Cliff Kingsbury and the fact that he believes he'll succeed, the fact that he believes that his schemes translate to the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes was almost a little defiant about Cliff Kingsbury. And, you know, and one of the things he said was, it's very similar to the criticism that Cliff Kingsbury is getting now to the criticism I got before the draft. You know, and the fact that he's talked about the losses and the lack of winning seasons and, you know, all that type of stuff and the questions about scheme and the air raid and whether that translates. And he was glowing in his reports about Cliff Kingsbury and who he'll be as a head coach and the success he believes that Cliff Kingsbury will have.
Well, it's the reason why the Arizona Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury, isn't it? They hired him because they believe he's a genius. They believe he is a savant when it comes to offensive football. That's what they believe. I mean, to a degree, Basinonians, where they'd hire him to be their head coach. Hire them to actually bring his offense here and make a relationship with Josh Rosen, and then all of a sudden staff it out. Staff out his coaching staff with nothing but NFL coaches. Stop and think about that paradigm. What a model that is right there. It is completely different than anything I've ever seen. That's how outside the box this is.
And now they took it a step further. If you didn't get a chance to hear it because it happened, you know, kind of over the weekend, where NFL.com actually reported that the Arizona Cardinals were going to be hiring Tom Clements, the former assistant head coach of the Green Bay Packers, who'd been out of coaching for a couple years, but that they would be giving no one the offensive coordinator title.
How about that?
Now, that still could change, that something could happen, and they do decide to make a move and hire an offensive coordinator. Who knows? Maybe they were looking at somebody from the Saints or the Chiefs, and they might bring them in now that they're not coaching, or wait till after the Super Bowl and still have an eye on an OC. But for the most part, it looks like they're not going to hire one because now if you want to be the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals, you're now in a situation where you already knew you weren't calling the plays. You already knew anything great that happens, the credit probably goes to Cliff Kingsbury anyway. But now you've already got Tom Clements there, who is the guy that's – and you've already got the O-line coach. You've already got the quarterback's coach. But here's something that Rudy Carpenter said, which was more interesting to him, is he said, listen, the OC, when you've got Kingsbury, doesn't matter nearly as much as the O-line coach.
I'm going to be interested to see if Cliff Kingsbury and his offensive coordinator, I'm sorry, his offensive line coach are going to be able to get on the same page to really get this pass protection scheme down. Because in the NFL, you have to have a ton of pass protection schemes. Otherwise, defenses are going to be able to light you up with pressure all the time, force you to throw hot on third and medium and third and long. It's almost impossible to convert those situations. It's not like college where you can just line up and have one, two, maybe three different pass protection schemes at most.
See, we were talking about that very thing last week, just the fact that Sean Kugler and James Saxon, the running back coach, that those guys would get together, right? And they would be, in essence, the run game coordinator. They would block. This is the way we're going to block all of these fronts on this play. This is the way we're going to protect on all of these protections and all of these possible blitzes. Here's how we're going to protect. It takes the running back coach and the offensive line coach being on the same page. Now, a lot of times that's your offensive coordinator for the most part, but this is where it's going to be a collaboration with Cliff Kingsbury, Sean Kugler, and James Saxon. And I said last week as well that, you know, I really didn't care. Remember, I felt badly about this too, Douglas. I said, I didn't care who the Cardinals' offensive coordinator was because Cliff Kingsbury was their offensive coordinator. And then I felt bad. Then I felt badly after I said it, right? Like I had dismissed the importance of an OC. altogether when that's not what I was trying to do. But it was the reality of this model. It's the reality of this paradigm called the Cardinals coaching staff. It's the reality of it. It's so odd. It's brand new is what it is. Will it work? That is the question. We're all going to have a front row seat, and we're going to get our answer. Will it work? This new model, this new paradigm, completely different than any. Hey, Sean McVay, people compare Cliff Kingsbury to Sean McVay, but that's where it ends. Just the fact that you got a young guy who's going to be a play caller who's supposedly an offensive genius. That's where it ends. Sean McVay is a great coach, number one. And number two, Sean McVay had his staff. Wade Phillips was in his back pocket when he was hired. This is completely different. And it'll take your breath away on one hand, and at the same time, fill you with this incredible rush. Could this work? And if it does, how's it going to impact the NFL? And what if it fails? And how will that impact the NFL? Stunning stuff, man. It really is.
I admit, as I sit here, it's much easier to assume that it fails. It's much easier because Josh Rosen proved nothing last year about his own talents. Now you have a young coach that's got to convince the other coaches, I know what I'm doing, and yet still understand what he doesn't know and let them have a say and mesh what they want to do. You still have a defense that didn't stop the run last year, and it's all easy for us to blame all of the coaching staff for the defense, but are you really going to be able to fix everything just like that? Do you have anything? And then you look at Steve Keim and you say, you keep mentioning the Rams model. The other thing about the Rams model is they dropped Whitworth in there, and you needed a team as bad as the Bengals that said, we don't need a good left tackle, then just let him out there on the street. Are you going to be able to recreate all of the Rams stuff, or is it only recreated by, well, we hired this young upstart coach?
Yeah, just remember this, Basinonians, right? Remember this. The first one through the gates get the bloodiest. That's why I tip my cap to Steve Keim, because there's a real possibility this could get bloody, and he knows it. So what? You're going to go down? Go down to what you believe in. Go down swinging. Go down and go through the gate. I'll run with you, bruh.
But that was something that Patrick Mahomes brought up on his own, and that obviously he wanted to talk about, and that was on his mind because it was relevant, and you know, Cliff had just gotten hired, and it was fascinating for me. I mean, living here, knowing that he got hired, doing a couple games this year with the air raid offense with some of the Mike Leach's disciples, and knowing that offense well, I'm fascinated to see how it translates. And I'm sure he'll have to add to it, and he'll scheme differently in the NFL than he would in college. You have to keep defensive coordinators from knowing exactly what you're doing, but it's certainly exciting. I'm sure Josh Rosen's going to love it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, we can't wait to see it. All of us, we all feel the same way about this, and we're going to have a front row seat. That's the best thing about it. Cannot wait to see the manifestation of all of this.
You know, we're all over how many rules may or may not be changing after this weekend. Just listening to Jay Feely talk, there's another rule that I've been jumping on the soapbox for a while that I want to see changed, and that is, there's got to be a change in the CBA that excludes quarterbacks from some of the you can't be in the facility rules. I totally understand why the average Joe doesn't want to be working at times like that. And I understand coaches will put undue pressure on you to be there at the facility, and that's not part of the job, and that's what you fought for. You've got a completely legal CBA. But why are you going to care if your quarterback's in there? They get paid enough. They can go in there. And you're telling me a lot of the quarterbacks don't want to be there? Don't you think Josh Rosen would like to spend a little extra time with Cliff Kingsbury? Why not have a few weekends where it's just quarterbacks are in?
I think it's one of those things that will change in the new CBA in 2021 after a massive work stoppage.
Ooh,
that's just a prediction.
That's a strong tease. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Connecticut. Coming up next, does Dan Bickley think that every play should be reviewable? Is he upset that Patrick Mahomes didn't get a chance? Does he think the Cardinals need an offensive coordinator?
And why didn't Jay Feely get a chance to say anything?
You calling out Jim Nance in the middle of a Dan Bickley tease? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta is coming up in about 30 minutes, and Dan Bickley just walked into the Octon Community Studios. We always like to have him in on Mondays, talk about his column, and talk about what happened over the weekend. Number one thing you want to see changed in the NFL after this weekend?
Yeah, I don't ever want to see officiating dominate headlines on championship Sundays ever again.
So what are you willing to do about it? You are Commissioner Dan Bickley.
Instant replay is now expanded to everything and everyone. And yeah, you're going down a rabbit hole when you do that. The last thing you want to do is start examining every potential PI call. Mm-hmm. How much holding did you see from defensive backs over the course of those two games? It's like holding on with an offensive lineman. You could throw flags every play. Yep. It's a rabbit hole. But in situations like this, isn't it better? We, as sports fans, now that we have the technology to get things right, we don't have tolerance for the human element anymore. And listen, and I'm writing about this today, and this will be posted later. To me, Wolf and I were just talking about the virtues of pain when it comes to the NFL. You can go real deep with this stuff. I believe one of the beauties of the NFL is the inequity of it. You lose a coin toss, you may never see the field. You know what? Tough. Mm-hmm. That's football. Tough.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing fair about football. I like
Boy,
that.
Do I stand and applaud you on that.
I like that about that. That's what I think sets the NFL apart. Just the brutal reality of you don't like it, you win, things didn't go your way. Tough. It's football. So all of this stuff about losing a coin toss, I'm cool with that because that's the way football shouldn't be fair. It shouldn't be easy. You know that better than anybody.
You had a chance to win it in the 60 minutes that you played already.
Yes, yes. But I think we as football fans and we as sports fans, we see instant replay in everywhere now, and we don't tolerate mistakes. The human
Do you tolerate
element.
The delay? I was at the ASU game Saturday night, and there was a long delay, and I'm thinking, let's play. Let's play. I don't care. Let's play. I'm here to be entertained. You looking at a monitor does not entertain me.
Yeah.
So how long will we be accept the delay?
Well, I don't know why it takes as long as it does. If there is a command and control, you guys have one. I'm sure the NFL has one, right? If you've got a command and control, just be honest about what you're doing and empower somebody to make a quick decision. And base it on technology that you have and just speed it up.
It doesn't normally go well for me.
So laborious.
When Maloney reviews what I've done in command and control, it normally goes poorly for me.
Right.
Douglas, will you break down what you've been talking about all morning long in regard to the commissioner and the powers of the commissioner? Will you ask Danny about that? Because honestly, I'd love to get his opinion on that, but I want you to break it down.
There is a rule, Rule 17, Section 2, Article 3, the commissioner's powers. He can reverse the result of a game, reschedule the game, either from the beginning or at the point where an extraordinary act had occurred. So the commissioner has the right to do nothing.
Uh-huh.
The commissioner has the right to say the whole game is hogwash, we're doing it again. Or he could call the Rams back to New Orleans
back
and say, it's first and 10,
from the 1:49
right. on the clock, and it's 20-20. Here we go.
Oh.
How would you, what would the Dan Bickley column at ArizonaSports.com say?
That would be.
Following the fact of him announcing, we're playing that down
no,
again.
No, that would be power and control and authority run amok.
Because don't we all wish Galarraga got a perfect game?
But
don't we all wish
me.
Jim Joyce had replay when that happened?
Tell me you don't want to see it.
Oh, I don't want to see that. No, I don't.
Don't tell me you wouldn't. Come on, Dan.
Right.
I mean, I'm with you on this.
Would the Rams have any fire at all? Would there be any passion left?
Think about the outcome of that, though. Think about how homogenous and boring sports would be if everything was always right. If everything was justice served to a letter.
Because here's how
really
I look at it.
Really ordering teams back to a football field today.
I wonder
you
what
couldn't
the number
do
would
that
be.
Because the following day, you couldn't get the players back in the physical or mental state of mind they were in.
You
can't recreate an ending like that.
I just can't imagine what it would be if he did it now and then chose not to do it for your
Boom.
Team.
Right.
If the Bengals that nobody cares about has – well, it's the Bengals. I don't care.
Oh, you'll do it for Robert Kraft, but you won't do it for Michael Bidwill, will you?
Oh, my goodness. I just know if Roger Goodell ever did something like that, I'd be like, you got to be kidding me, Roger Goodell. You're just out of control. Just going Tasmanian devil.
But was it pass interference or was it not?
And then going –
right.
When are they going to show that?
Yeah,
I'll be the first guy to turn the television on.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be as long and as laborious. You're right, though. I mean, those delays that are interminable, it's almost like they want the viewing public to know that the league is taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The longer we're they must be checking every angle, so therefore there must be credibility to the outcome. You gotta quicken it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see that. There's one of the things in Sean Payton's defense, and I didn't know this until you read every story in the world after a game like that, that for the last 3 years on the competition committee, he has been in favor of making pass interference a reviewable penalty.
Wow, really?
And this is before it ever affected him. Now he's going to be on that competition committee and say, remember how I've been talking about this? So that could, there's so many elements of what could change. Could it be every play is challengeable? Could it be every play inside of 2 minutes is reviewable no matter what? Or could it simply be pass interference is now a challengeable call? When it's that egregious, you could say yes. That should have been a DPI.
You know, it's weird. There are 7 officials on a football field, okay? You got your referee and your umpire who are probably watching the quarterback, after the ball's released, because you want to see late hits and all that kind of stuff. So you got one of the 5 judges who saw or who should have seen that pass interference call. Say he didn't see it. I saw one replay of that play where the angle of the ball, the defender come to the ball carry, it's clearly an egregious call or no call. But there are a couple of views where you might say in real time, maybe some guy just whiffed on this and nobody else had the gravitas to come in and say, stop that. That is where you've got to have somebody in that command and control who just huddle up, talk about this, figure this out, because hint, hint, you guys didn't get this right. You know what I mean? There's got to be a better way to do this.
What's crazy about the dynamics of that call, there are 2 refs specifically assigned for that right there.
Yeah.
And that is the back judge, and then in this case, the down judge. And guess what they're both looking for? They're both looking for pass interference. The closest ref is looking for feet to make sure the feet are in bounds. And they're both looking for helmet to helmet. That was helmet to helmet, and that was a hit on a defenseless receiver. How they missed both the pass interference and helmet to helmet
is awful.
Insane.
It's awful.
Yeah, how the Zebras did not huddle, though, to your point.
That's it.
That should have happened. Like, somebody should have said, man, did you see that? Because I guarantee you now, he crushed him before the ball was there. You know,
that somebody has got to get in the ref's ear and say, huddle up.
So Dan Bickley's official opinion, that should have been reversed, but you don't feel bad that Patrick Mahomes was on the sideline and never came out for the overtime.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I'm upset that New England won. I was like the masses that wanted to see Patrick Mahomes win, but I love that about football.
Get over it.
I want football to be cutthroat. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be equality, participation trophies, equal shots, don't have to happen.
All right. Tomorrow, well done, Ticket Window man. Tuesday, presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win a WWE experience. You'll score a pair of tickets to the WWE Royal Rumble this Saturday, this Sunday at Chase Field, plus your choice of either SmackDown Live or Monday Night Raw tickets at Talking Stick Resort Arena. Listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to be a winner. More Dan Bickley at ArizonaSports.com and right here from the Auction Community Studios coming up in about 20 minutes. Next, Paul's Call gets reviewed on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no.
It's your call.
No, it's your call.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
Well, we interrupt continuing coverage from the We Got Jammed, We Got Hosed, the Missed Call Update Desk around here. You kidding me? Yes, indeed.
Oh, no call. He's hammered and knocked to the floor.
No.
And there's no call.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Was that audio from the NFC Championship?
That's the wrong call of the wrong call.
Oh, I see. Brutal!
Yeah. That's what the Saints booth said.
Goes to the near side. Hit early. Where's the flag?
Oh, you don't get one.
Early hit on Tommy Lee. Sean Payne is all the way down at the 10. Unbelievable. Brutal! No call.
I mean, nothing, no flag?
You can't challenge it. I mean, he doesn't even look for the ball.
Mikel Roby Coleman
got away with murder. That's what the guy did. Listen to him.
Came to the sideline, looked at the football guys, like, thank you. Got away with one tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you did, dude. In fact, he told a Washington Post reporter, quote, oh, heck yeah, that was P.I. And he admitted that he got beat, and he just decided the smartest thing was just to plow the receiver over. So the playoffs officially brought to you by...
Go Ed Malloy!
And you thought the super
Wolf every time.
You thought the super blood moon lunar eclipse last night was the craziest thing you'd see.
The moon, Earth, and sun will line up for the only total lunar eclipse over the next 2 years.
Yeah, get in line behind what happened last night in the playoffs because you know what? It's time for the sawed-off shotgun of sports. Sports takes and the traitor Ron Wolfley in every direction.
America stayed.
Paul's call.
Paul, don't take me out of context.
Paul's call is here to do a couple of things. One, drink coffee. And two, take Doug and Wolf out of context.
America stayed.
Wow. Well, seriously, I mean, we know that Buffalo is a Canadian province.
How's it going, eh?
But you got some...
That's not funny, Paul.
You got some explaining to do around here, because we're not going to sit here and
listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
You know, why don't you guys help make America knowledgeable again? Like Coach Tomlin once said...
Tell me something I don't know.
That's right. Why don't you guys...
Right, tell me something I don't know.
Why don't you guys make like Tony...
That was funny.
Make like Tony Romo. That's what we didn't know.
I got to put Gronkowski out wide. He's your guy when it's one-on-one. They finally got him. There he is.
On the top of the screen.
And what happens when they snap it?
Here they come after Brady. He goes down the field to Gronk.
Yep.
Turns around, makes the catch.
Yep.
He saw what you saw, Tony.
That's a ding. And that wasn't all.
They're going to run this ball. Kansas City's got to sell out.
There's a handoff to Burkhead. Burkhead pulls ahead and scores the touchdown.
Tony Romo predicting play after play with his crystal football.
Once again, Edelman in the middle of the field.
Pocket sealed. Down the middle. Edelman again with a third down catch.
But wait, there's more.
Gronk is out wide. Watch the top of your screen. Watch this safety.
Here it comes.
There's a good chance he's throwing out there.
It's Gronk for the first down.
Just stupid good.
That's just dumb.
How Romo would call the play and then survey said. Romo's right.
New England tried to play action earlier. I can't see it here. This has to be a run.
Second and goal to Burkhead. Burkhead to the end zone. Hello, Super Bowl, New England.
The Pats win, and so does Romo.
Man, I'm tired of being right.
And I'm saddled with these guys.
Too bad he couldn't foresee dropping that snap on the hole.
Speaking of being right around here, play the clip from last week.
Nick Saban can't keep a team within 14 points, and Paul Calvisi is right.
Oh,
I got some advice for you.
Yes, run.
Sell.
No, really? Really? Music, please.
No,
Paul. Am I sleeping?
What? No.
Not just you, Doug. Just realize there's comfort in numbers. Because once upon a time, there were three haters, three non-believers.
Oh, a microphony.
And a phony at the mic.
Get him.
Oh!
Three of them of Arizona Sports.
This time, you're wrong, Doug.
Yeah, there was Doug and his morning co-host.
I don't know what Wolf was doing.
Right, and then Wolf's game day partner, Mr. ESPN.
Didn't want to be in Paul's call to start this week.
Sorry, Dave.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
We're afraid that we're holding all of you accountable.
Charlie, come on out and get you whooping. Charlie, come on out.
Just remember that old SportsCenter commercial? Vander Holyfield, heavyweight champ. He's trying to hunt down the SportsCenter anchor for talking bad about him.
Charlie, come on out and get you whooping.
Yeah.
Charlie, come on out.
Now, it's your turn. For discounting, dismissing, just dissing, period, our guy. You know, the Rams quarterback who for 2 years has been constantly ripped around here.
They could be an early out because of the quarterback play, and I'm not convinced yet.
Really? How about now, Dave? Considering he's the youngest quarterback ever to win the NFC Championship.
It was an honor to be out there and to win that game and to do it here. It's unbelievable, but we earned it.
How's that feel, David?
Brees and Peyton been 6-0 in the playoffs at the Superdome, but the young gun QB, who per Elias, by the way, will take the fewest seasons ever to start a Super Bowl among quarterbacks taken first overall.
Wow, winning.
Remember that prank that Jared Goff played on the JC team?
Today, I'm not Jared Goff, and I'm the transfer.
He showed up at the spring practice in disguise.
I am Dre Fogue, and I'm the transfer. Right.
He stood next to the starting QB and told the kid,
"Were you the punter?"
"No, I'm a quarterback."
"Oh."
He purposely called him the punter when he was the starting quarterback.
Was his name Kobe? Yes, if I was the punter.
So disrespectful.
So all the kids on the team were just like, the new guy just dissed our starting quarterback. And then Jared Goff went on, threw lasers all over the practice field.
Bullseye!
Turns out that JC team, they weren't the only ones shocked and surprised.
Everybody was clueless. The whole team looked at him like he was Hercules or something.
At least they knew where the sun rises.
So let's see. That team plus Doug, Wolf, and Dave, all clueless. And now it's his mission to stop the Patriots from throwing themselves another Super Bowl parade.
Who's getting wild tonight?
No, who's getting their whooping?
Come on out and get your whooping.
Well, we know who.
Poor David.
You guys should have thought for yourselves instead of following Dave's lead.
What are you talking about, Bob?
You know who you are and what you said.
Nice hat, by the way.
Wrapping
with
now,
the hat,
it's Paul.
Time for another edition of
I'll
Be God Danged.
So you send your kid to college.
I got a college degree.
And then they decide what to study.
How'd you like to get a degree in pot studies?
Hot.
This is a hybrid. Bluegrass, Kentucky bluegrass, Northern California sensitive.
We get it. Come again.
A university in upstate New York is preparing what could be a huge program for students interested in cultivating pot.
No joke.
I'll be gold dying.
It's becoming an official degree.
Totally.
It's in your home state, Wolf.
These jobs are going to be there. We need to make sure that our graduates are the ones that are filling those positions.
That's agriculture science professor on the new marijuana business minor now being offered at the State University of New York, Morrisville.
Yes, indeed. Now, I had plenty of high school buddies who went to Humboldt State and majored in weed unofficially.
I know that, dude.
But now this college is...
They're looking for people with an interest in agriculture, science, and business, not those who've been growing pot in their basements for the past 10 years.
It's officially official.
I'll be gold, babe.
So mom and dad, you send your kids to college and they come back...
I like to call myself a connoisseur.
A cannabis connoisseur.
Recreational pot isn't even legal in New York State yet, but it may soon be. And this school wants to be ready when it is.
Yeah. So, there you go.
I'll be gold, bang.
Your hair has a consistency of cannabis.
I wouldn't know, Wolf.
Ball's gone.
That was good.
Thank you, Paul.
That was good. Very quick.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf.
You're so Cal Berkeley.
You can always get worse.
Get out of the tree. Get out of the tree, Paul.
Brought to you by Carol Royce.
No marijuana
in Berkeley. If you want to learn how to sell your house for top dollar, go to carolhasthebuyers.com.
We know all your stories.
My big takeaway from today's show is I still refuse to recant. If you don't know where the sun comes up,
I'm
not drafting you.
Doug, say it like last week again.
I was dead wrong.
Thank you, Doug.
I want to hear about your story, Paul, climbing the wall and running.
There's no story.
Peace
no weed
strike.
In Berkeley.
Peace and strike.